Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, January 9th, 2024. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Forbes 30 Under 30, a.k.a. the Game Awards future class, a.k.a. the New York Game Awards nominated, Blessing Eddie Oye Jr.
What up?
No one got to see your salute.
You saluted that whole time. I was waiting for the camera to come to me, and the camera never came to me.
Bear loves the close. He loves the ones, you know?
New York
loves
Game Awards.
How you doing?
Doing pretty good. It feels great to be noticed, to be nominated. It's a pretty chill week. I'm enjoying the start of the new year so far.
It's been fun.
Yeah.
How'd the first Games Daily go yesterday?
It was pretty good. Yeah. You know, we made a few changes to the show, and I think for the most part they went well. Yeah, there's still some things like trying to iron out.
Yeah,
like
of course.
The transition to the ad. Obviously, like it's the thing where like I went into the ad with the normal wording of like, oh yeah, and like if you do this, if you're watching, that
we rewrote it, didn't we?
Yeah, but I wasn't trying to read.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah,
I did the same thing yesterday on Kinda Funny Podcast. We're actually read off the page, the thing.
Yeah.
Because the intros are brand new now. This new, the condensed little thing we did.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's not up
and the intro, yet. And that's the thing is the intro I did. The ad, in my mind, I was like, oh, the ad,
as
there's
the
no
ad.
Way it's not changing.
Ad is the ad
much.
Is the ad is the ad.
Yeah, like we get it, right? If you don't have Patreon or you don't have the kind of funny membership, then you don't see the ad. But as I said it, went to ad and I was like, I guess if you're watching live and you do have the kind of funny membership, then you do see the ad. But then it's hard way. I've got to figure out a way to like phrase that to let people know.
Sure.
But other than that, I feel like the episode went well.
Okay, good.
Yeah, the Friday stream went well.
Of course it did.
Yeah.
You were great on it. You were great on it.
Thank you.
Thank you. One of my most favorite understated moments was you, me, and Nick on the couch just drinking bourbon.
Oh yeah. And my favorite was just like looking at chat and everybody being like, why does Blessing look trapped? And I'm like, I always look like this. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
This is just who I am.
It's one of those things you have resting bitch face to a degree.
Yeah.
Like right now when it's a one-on-one and you're on, you're there. But I've noticed in panel stuff before. I know you're listening, but you're doing that thing where you're like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
It also doesn't help that it kind of looks like a casting couch, but that's just me.
It does a little bit. Yeah. And between two
Burns.
Older white men.
Oh.
And I don't know what's about to happen in this scenario. You know? It was a fun stream, though. You know?
It was a fun stream.
Yeah. Enjoyed the happy hour. I thought that was a fun time.
Yeah. That's a cool new thing we're doing. Yeah.
The game showdown. Pretty fun. Yeah, also, the first episode.
It's up.
Yeah.
We shouldn't spoil it.
Episode zero is up.
Yeah. Well, because it doesn't count.
Yeah, I mean, it's technically an episode, but it's not
it's
part
an
of
episode,
season one.
But it doesn't count on my permanent record for
no,
you.
No, it's not on anybody's permanent
as
record.
As the season 13 champ, you know what
of
I mean?
Of Kinda Feudy.
Yeah.
Different show.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
The last champ of Kinda Feudy, the last season champ of Kinda Feudy.
Fair enough.
You know what I mean? That's why we're retiring. I'm getting a banner here on the first
is that
episode
true?
Of Game
I
Showdown.
I thought it was a jersey.
Yeah. I think I might have, I was talking a little out of my ass, though, with the idea. And then I was like, all right, I don't really wear a jersey.
Mm.
Then, like, they put
you can start.
They put championship banners up. So I'm thinking I put a championship banner up there.
I mean, like, literally or
showdown.
As part of, like, the
oh,
video
no,
wall?
Literally.
Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, there has to be a ceremony of, like, us, you know, I hope you don't have anything planned for your first episode of Game Showdown. I have my own bit here.
I'm down for this bit. Yeah, okay. If you can get a championship banner, somehow hide it up there where nobody will notice.
Well,
and
no, I mean, it's not hide. We're going to have to bring it up. You know what I mean?
Fair enough. Listen, I'm not going to stop you.
I appreciate that. That's why you're my favorite judge. You're my favorite judge of Game Showdown.
Thank you. Not Roger Corney, who...
Don't get me started on him. You know what I mean? Didn't even wear overalls yesterday. Couldn't have been any clearer on the calendar.
I don't think it was on the calendar.
I digress. Today we're going to talk about the fact that there's an Xbox developer _ direct announced. Last of Us is Abby has officially been cast and more because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about live on YouTube, Twitch, and podcast services around the globe. If you love what we do, please support us with the Kinda Funny membership on Patreon or youtube.com/kindafunnygames to get all of our shows ad-free. Watch us record them live and get a daily exclusive show. Greg, why? For a chance to be part of this very show, submit your thoughts and opinions as YouTube Super Chats as we go so we can integrate them into the stories. Housekeeping for you. There is no Kinda Funny Games Daily tomorrow, Wednesday, because at 10 a.m. Pacific on YouTube and Twitch, we will be live streaming our Kinda Funny Game of the Year episode where all of us We'll live react to our cumulative top 10 games list for 2023 and crown the Kind of Funny Game of the Year. Are you excited?
I'm very excited.
This is one of my favorite things we do.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think, you know, like, I've talked about it at length, how much I hate top 10s and how much I hate arguing with your friends and colleagues about games and what should be game of the year. And yada yada. Mm-hmm. I love the idea that we all come in. Everybody who reviews games are kind of funny. Comes in with a different top 10. We give them to Barrett. He ranks them, does it, seeds it, and then we don't find out until we're all together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a fun combination of like reaction content, but then also review content, and then also totally. Just all of us hanging out together in the same room.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's always a surprise what game of the year is. So we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see who makes it next year.
Do you think Ratchet and Clank makes it again?
Final Fantasy VII. Who do you think game of the year is tomorrow?
I think it's Zelda.
Okay.
Like I've gone through it in my mind a lot. Like I think my fear, and I use the word fear loosely because it's going to sound like I'm insulting the game when I'm not, is Spider-Man 2. Just for the idea of like, yeah, for me, it reminds me of Ratchet where we all really, really liked Ratchet, but it wasn't really any of our number ones, but all of us played it. Therefore, Ratchet just ended up as the number one. It felt like, right? Like, I think Andy
It was Andy's game of the year, and it was Mike's number three that year.
Yeah. Spider-Man 2, I think, has the same thing where, like, I think all of us played it, and all of us really liked it. And so, you know, I think when I take that and I look at Baldur's Gate 3, which a lot of us loved, but not necessarily all of us played, right? Or even Zelda, which a lot of us loved, but not necessarily all of us played. I think Spider-Man 2 might be the one game that makes it onto possibly every list, or at least, like, most of the list that could bump it up. But I mean, I'm personally going for Zelda, and if it's not Zelda, then I hope it's Baldur's Gate 3.
Ladies and gentlemen, Barrett, do you have my intro ready? I didn't tell you to. You know, my Here Comes the Money thing.
Oh,
I don't know, is that a button press or is that more
that's
complicated?
Not a button press. Give me like 10 seconds.
All right, I can fill for a second. Ladies and gentlemen, it's kind of funny. Hey, we're back. It's 2024. Same garbage truck on fire.
What
I'm wearing a bomber jacket today.
Yeah, you are wearing a bomber jacket.
That's usually not my look, but it was that thing where it's like, I did the collared shirt era there for a lot of months, and I like them. Don't get me wrong, but the problem is, I look at them, and I just don't see myself in them.
Really,
like, I'm
you
a
see
t-shirt
yourself in a bomber jacket.
I'm a t-shirt guy.
Okay,
but I want to step the t-shirt up again. Mm. Like, you know what I mean? I don't want it just to be a t-shirt. And I think throwing away maybe a lot of my old t-shirts would help. And if I just had a brand new what, but it was that thing. It was like, and I'm not going to still wear the collared shirts.
Yeah,
it's just like I look at it. I'm like, I wasn't feeling a collared shirt today, and then so I'm in a thing, and then I have this. This is a jacket Jen bought me for E3. I don't think I ever wore when I hosted E3.
I mean, it is a very nice jacket. Yeah. I really like this
Thank
jacket.
Thank you very much. But, you know, bomber jackets are Tim's thing, so that's a whole thing. I don't know. Anyways, Barrett, hit my intro.
Here comes the money.
Here we go. Money talk.
Here comes the money.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to your favorite reoccurring Kind of Funny Games daily segment, Sound Financial Advice with Greg Miller. And here's what I want you all to do, ladies and gentlemen. Call up your friends, your family, your auntie, your uncle, and tell them you will bet that Spider-Man 2 will be Kind of Funny's game of the year. Jesus, bet the fucking house. Don't worry about it. Go for it. Barrett's saying it's not sound real financial advice. It is this time, all right? What I'm saying is pretty simple. You cash out your 401k, your college fund, whatever it is, you put it on Spidey! I've run it in my head. Ain't no way Zelda wins. Ain't no way Baldur's Gate wins.
I don't think Baldur's Gate is going to win. If Spider-Man 2 wins, then I'm with all the comments. Like, all this PlayStation fucking please or whatever. Because it's like, come on.
Sony ponies, please. Sony ponies.
Whatever they call us, right? Yeah. I'm with them if Spider-Man 2 wins. Because, like, come on, man.
Great game.
Come on.
Great
Zelda, Baldur's Gate 3, Alan Wake 2. Hi-Fi Rush? You know, come on. Let's be real here. Let's be real here.
Starfield.
I mean, not Starfield.
We will find out tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. Gollum at 10 a.m. when we do a live Gamescast recording our top 10. It's usually a long episode. It's a great episode. Janet's flying up for it. I might have ordered her a cake.
Oh, yeah, because it was her birthday.
Yeah. Is it tomorrow?
Yes.
Got it. Yeah, I ordered a cake for her birthday. More housekeeping for you. Game Showdown episode 0 is up right now as a standalone video in case you missed it during the Kind of Funny Day marathon stream. You go to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames to get this. Of course, if you have a Kind of Funny membership, you can get it ad free. Blessing, this is your brand new show, episode 0. Episode 1 does debut live on Friday after Games Daily. Talk about it.
Yeah, it's a show that I'm very excited for. It's a show that we've been working very hard on for the last, it feels like forever, but like really, it's been an idea that's gestated for the last year and a half, but we've really been working hard on for the last few months. And it's me hosting it. It's what you love about Kind of Feudy, right? But expanded out into a show with multiple different games in it. It's different kinds of trivia. You know, come through and watch the show to find out what kind of trivia, right? It's all nerdy and video game trivia, right?
Yeah.
But like different types of games. And so it's very exciting. In my opinion, I think there's a lot of good polish to it. It's going to be video only. It's going to be shorter than what you get out of our long form content, right? Like I'm aiming for more 20 to 30 minutes with this show, but it's going to be 20 to 30 minutes of a really good game show. And so come through on Friday, recording live after KFGD, and then it'll be up as a VOD on YouTube for everyone.
Yep.
YouTube.com. So it's Kind of Funny Games.
Ad free if you have a YouTube or Kind of Funny membership.
There you go.
I'm working on it. Yeah. Too. Still do.
Some practice.
You know what I mean?
Before we move on, I actually did want to shout out before we got into the Roper Report, the New York Game Awards.
Where you're nominated.
Where I'm nominated.
For Game Journalism of the Year.
Yeah, you had introduced me as the New York Game Awards nominated. And this is really cool. I tweeted about it, right? And when they first announced the nomination, it caused me some confusion, and also I think the community some confusion, just the idea of
the world at large.
Yeah, just the idea that I don't call myself a games journalist. I don't necessarily see myself.
We just had a whole rant about how we Kind of Funny isn't games journalism.
Yeah,
isn't games. We aren't games journalists. That Kind of Funny.
Yeah, and with that, right? Like they put up a page that kind of explains what each person
I like that
is
we forced that
for.
1000%.
Yeah, where it's like,
they're like, here's an award no one will get mad about, and then the entire internet was mad.
Yeah. And I think the thing I want to point out specifically is that the award is best games journalism. It doesn't necessarily say best games journalist, which I think is the key difference.
And honestly, if I can jump in, it's such a brilliant way to do it. I've said before that I'd love to see, not necessarily in place of content creator at Game Awards, but a game journalism or game journalist thing. And this makes so much sense in the same way of we're picking a specific game. We're picking a specific article, not your body of work, not everything you did. It's impossible to find that.
Yeah, and this goes back to the conversation I think me and Tim were having right before break of we don't necessarily call ourselves games journalists. I brought up my black hair video, right? The episode of The Blessing Show. And there's multiple episodes of The Blessing Show that I'll put in this category of course. I did a journalism. That doesn't necessarily make me a journalist, right? Tim compares it to you sing karaoke. That doesn't necessarily make you a professional singer type thing. And they go through and they highlight the specific piece that people were nominated for.
That's really, really
brilliant. So they shout out the black hair in video games piece.
Throw them back up there and let me see what else other people are doing. Because now that we can pick it and go against things, we can just say who's going to win.
Oh, yeah. So we got Andrea Longchu, who did The Last List is Not a Video Game Adaptation.
Garbage. That's loser talk.
Nicole Carpenter. You don't even read the article.
I off the headline, I know.
Nicole Carpenter, who did The Untold History of Barbie Fashion Designer, the first mass market game for girls.
That's not going to do it.
Brendan Sinclair, the homie over there. Microsoft's Concerning Conflict Minerals Disclosure Reflects Industry-Wide
Slippage. Oh, my God. Put
slippage.
Me to sleep. Not happening.
Ed Smith, who did The Starfield is the Death of Video Games as We Know Them.
All right.
Which, I might agree with this guy. We got Hanif, who does We're More Ghosts Than People, and then Reed McCarter, who does They Made Us Do It with his article. Mine was the one they nominated me for was the black hair.
You're gonna walk.
You think
so? That's easy. That's another trophy for you.
I don't know, man. I've seen a lot of these other people's work, and they do really good work.
I think they do. Were those them? Probably not.
The one thing I am shocked by is the lack of Rebecca Valentine.
She's already won it, remember.
Oh, has she?
This was one of the things when people were coming at you with pitchforks and torches. And they're like, well, what about Jason and what about Reb? Reb responded to one and was like, I actually won 2 years ago.
Oh.
Thanks for paying attention.
Yeah.
So I think, not that you can't, do games journalism twice in a row.
She did such an incredible article. I mean, I don't know when the cutoff was.
Sure.
She did such an incredible article late last year about the Wukong game.
Yeah.
And did a deep dive, research.
And thank God they didn't see that, because that would have been nominated, and that would have been a good one to
win.
You're up against minerals.
But here's the thing, that was one where I was like, if I was in the nominating pool, right? If I was a judge or whatever, I definitely would have gotten that in there. But aside from that, right, I think this is a good cast of people. I am very honored and very humbled to be a part of this.
Yeah.
And it was the thing where when the black hair video came out last year, right? Both me and Roger were very proud of the fact that it felt like journalism, right?
Yeah.
There are people that we respect in this industry. There was Ryan McCaffrey tweeted the video and was like, this is a great piece of video games journalism. I know that was something that me and Roger were very much damn. We really worked hard on this thing, and it's really shining through in a way that we're really proud of. And so I'm happy that New York Game Awards won. Clarified this, because I think a lot of people were just confused.
100%.
But then also, I'm very honored to be nominated, and shout out to the New York Game Awards.
Shout out to you, New York Game Awards. If Blessing doesn't win, we'll never talk about it again.
No.
Thank you to our Patreon producer, Delaney Twining. Today we're brought to you by BetterHelp, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be The Roper Report. Time for some news. 7 items on The Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Number one, The Last of Us Season 2 casts Caitlin Dever as Abby. This is Joel Otterson at Variety. The Last of Us Season 2 has officially cast Caitlin Dever, Variety has learned. Dever joins the hit HBO show in the role of Abby, who is described as, quote, a skilled soldier whose black and white view of the world is challenged as she seeks vengeance for those she loved, end quote. Dever's past TV credits include shows like Last Man Standing, Justified, Unbelievable, and Dope Sick. On the film side, she has starred in features such as Booksmart, Rosalina, Next Goal Wins, and No One Will Save You, the last of which she also executive produced.
Hell yeah. I know her mainly from Booksmart.
Me too. Yeah, she's got that face where I know her from Booksmart, and then I've seen her in other things, yeah. But I read all this, I'm like, I don't know anything.
Next Goal Wins was one that is like on my short list of movies from last year that I still
need to see. Is that the sequel to Bend It Like Beckham?
Close, actually, kind of close. But yeah, like that's what I want to see. Barry, you popped up. Have you seen any of her other stuff?
Yeah, you would recognize her face. Spoilers for a 9-year-old game, nearly Uncharted 4.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She.
And that's all I'll say.
Cassie Cage.
Cassie Cage. Johnny Cage's time traveling daughter shows up
exactly
to fight Nolan North.
But yeah, no, like, and I based on, I guess, like. Seeing her pop up based on the reaction I've seen online of people being like, yeah, she's great, right? Like, this seems like a really good casting.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where I'm like, I just got to see her in the role, you know? Like, I can't wait to get there where, what, next year we're thinking for when that.
That's when they're supposed to start filming soon, right? Isn't that the rumor? Kindoffunny.com/ you're wrong. I vaguely remember having some conversations about that.
I mean, Pedro Pascal came out of cast recently, so we'll see when that filming starts. But yeah, I think they're supposed to start filming soon.
Filming next year and then coming out in 2025. Tundra Boy just says 2025, so I'm not sure.
I think it's coming out in 2025. I'm pretty sure it's supposed to start filming, like, very soon, like in the next month or so.
What's interesting, how much do we want to spoil Last of Us Part 2? I mean, this is a video game show. You're video game fans. I assume we all know.
People know. We knew what the plot was for this game before the game came out.
JJMN12 says, article said filming in February out in 2025.
There you go. Nailed it.
Obviously, Abby fucking yoked. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Looking like Stella Chung out there.
Yeah.
My question for this then, I wonder is, how do you do that? Like, how much do we lean into that? Is Caitlin going to go and, like, are they going to... they're filming in February all the flashback stuff with her and, like, stuff where she wasn't yoked as shit? And then are we going to throw her into the...
I mean...
fucking take this injection. Don't ask questions. Lift that car.
I think she's probably for sure going to get fit for this.
Yeah.
I don't think Abby needs to be, like, a hulking beast, right? Yeah. Like, I think even when I go back and play the video game, I was surprised by, like when you look back at The Last of Us Part 2... like, Abby's yoked, but when I go back, she's not as ripped as I remember. Like, she's
That was my thing, is I shouldn't say never. I wouldn't describe her necessarily as ripped, as bulked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, what I loved about that character, well, I mean, I love the game overall, but what I love about the character, right, was the idea, and it didn't really dawn on you until you were playing the thing and really deep into it, that, like, she had stopped her life when what happened, spoiler alert, what happened in her life happened, right? Mm-hmm. That was her death as well. And so then she just took it and, like, she basically Batmaned it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to use my body for one fucking thing. I have one purpose in this world and I'm going to build and build to do that thing.
Yeah.
And then it is the aftermath of, like, oh, I did the thing and now what the fuck's going on?
Yeah. I mean, I think for sure you get on some kind of workout regimen, but also I think what needs to be conveyed even more so than, you know, her, like, bulking up or whatever is just the brutality of that character, of, like, how much of a force that character is.
Yeah.
I think that could be conveyed through more than just muscle, right?
100%.
Like, I think that
it could be just the tenacity and the vengeance and the, you know,
yeah,
what I mean?
It could be, like, you know, yeah, through, like, emotion or anger or just, like, hey, this person is a very skilled combatant. Like, this person, like, Abby doesn't necessarily need to have, like, the biggest biceps. It could be, man, this Abby just knows how to fucking
What if she
fight.
Made, like, knife gloves? You know what I mean? That was
like Wolverine?
Thing.
Yeah, like, yeah. Like, oh man, she's like clawed at people.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a different character at that point.
She's like in the audition, like, do I have to bulk up a lot? And like, no, we don't have enough time for that. So you're just gonna get knife gloves like Wolverine.
I mean, I'm kind of
fucking
into
expert.
It. I'm kind of
fuck.
It. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited for this. I'm excited. I think I'm more so excited and curious about what the reaction is from the general audience to seasons 2 and beyond, right? You know, one. Do they make any adjustments to the timeline? Do they make any? Are there things that feel like they fit better in a TV space as opposed to a video game space? Because in the video game space, right, like it is, you are playing as a character, right? And then at a certain point, you are playing as a different character. And that is really, I think for a lot of people, that was jarring. But for the people that work for, right, there was the idea of, oh, wow, I literally have to be in this person's shoes. Like, I literally had to be in Abby's shoes. TV, I don't think grapples with the same things in the same ways, right? And so I wonder
yes
if it
and
is,
no.
is
like,
a
I feel like
thing.
Even, you know, love it or hate it for The Walking Dead, right? They did a great job of introducing Negan and making you hate Negan. And then if you hung out long enough, you kind of like Negan, right? Like, you come around on that. I feel like that's what this would be. I know they've talked about it being more than one season, right? So I think I think it would be very much that this season two is going to be the Ellie perspective, and then season three would be the Abby perspective. But I think that would be super jarring if you're just an HBO person and you turn that on like, oh, I'm getting one episode. Yeah. Oh my God, it's the rest of the way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think it could be that, right? I also would be curious to see if we could do like a, what, like episode one is Ellie, episode two is Abby, episode one is back to Ellie, and we are playing it concurrently as opposed to like Ellie's 3 days and Abby's 3 days. Because I do find that a little bit jarring, the idea of a full, like if we did season two as Ellie's story, as Ellie's 3 days in Seattle, and then we come back for season three, and season three is the exact same 3 days, but I'm just watching a different character. I feel like on TV.
TV moves faster than the game too, it feels like, right?
Like in terms of just what time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So because there's not as many, I'm not going around crafting shit and like crouching in, you know, environments. Yeah. And.
But my thing is it moves slower just in the sense of Last of Us Part 2, you can play in the span of a week, right? Less than a week if you wanted to. A TV show, like, what, 4 years? Like, what, yeah, 3 to 4 years of us watching
maybe
the show
maybe
is going to be the
maybe,
same 3 days.
So then maybe it's not that way, right? And you're right, half the season. Maybe it's half and half, you know what I mean? Rather than intersplice them at the same time. I think you have to hate Abby. Mm-hmm. You have to mourn her actions. You have to set Ellie off on her journey and then run back into Abby and then maybe flip it to be Abby and get Abby. You could do it all as one thing, I guess. 8 episodes, 4 and 4. That would, you know, kind of speed up. Like, I assume the horrible events of The Last of Us Part 2 are probably, if not the finale of episode 1, the finale of episode 1 is Joel running into Abby and giving like, come with me or something like this. And then you're all acting like you do. That's because we do. Credits, you know what I mean? Like that's it or whatever.
I just have so many I think it's going to be a task for
season
them.
3 then could just be like we're talking. It could be the pickup of we're at the farm. You know what I mean? And we're dealing with everything that's going on there.
In the aftermath.
Yeah, and then we set off on the next
Ellie
journey.
There's so much to fill for an entire season for that, though, with like how late in the story that is.
Yeah, but no. I mean, you figure we're dealing with TV. Like, first, I saw the headline, and we're dealing with a new medium and all this stuff. I saw a headline. I'm not 1,000% briefed on it, but I did see Nick Offerman, if somebody wants to look this up, winning the Golden Globe and being and somehow letting it slip that they were looking into doing a prequel show with his character, with Bill and Frank. That'd be interesting and cool, right? But if they're already making those kind of taking those kind of liberties, I think season three can be, especially if we like, let's say we it works and we like Abby at that point, that can be a more concurrent of like, here's Dina and Ellie, here's Abby and Lev, where they've been, what's been happening, and then the things that start happening to bring them back together or whatever.
Yeah, the article you're talking about, right? This is one I'm pulling from IGN. This went up yesterday.
IGN.
The Last of Us actor Nick Offerman says there are ideas for a prequel series. The Last of Us guest star Nick Offerman has confirmed there are ideas for a potential spin-off prequel series focused on the fan favorite characters Bill and Frank. Offerman picked up his first Emmy Award over the weekend, picking home a gold statuette for outstanding guest actor in a drama series for his performance as Bill in the third episode of HBO's The Last of Us. Backstage at the event, the actor suggested it might not be the last we have seen of his beloved character. Quote, it certainly has been pitched. I think we pitched a whole miniseries of a prequel of their lives before they meet each other, Offerman asserted, per The Hollywood Reporter, before he jokingly quipped, it could be a musical, adding, we're not short on ideas. We'll just see what co-creators Craig Mazin and Neil Druckmann come up with, end quote.
Got it.
Which?
That's far less concrete than I thought it was.
Yeah, it's like way less concrete, right? It's like more so ideas. I think it's a thing that could happen. I think for the conversations we've had about The Last of Us TV show, was it Tim that threw in the idea of like adapting The Last of Us factions, right? Like whatever stories come out of that, sure. Which obviously that's not happening anymore. But I do like the thing I keep bringing up is like the idea of Fear the Walking Dead. Like I think we're going to get a Fear the Last of Us. I think we're going to get like spinoff like stories in different areas.
So I want to know in the YouTube super chats right now, if you, the audience, would be excited about that, what you'd want from her, why you want it from it.
Yeah.
And then I want to turn it to you immediately and say, would you be excited for that?
Excited? Probably not. Like, honestly, like I'm here for the adaptation. I'm here to get like the story that you're telling me through these games. I mean, like, I like The Last of Us so much. To be honest, like The Last of Us game more than a TV show. Like, I think the TV show is great, but I'm here for the game. And one of the reasons I really like the TV show is that it's just giving me more of what I like from the game, right?
Yeah,
it's giving me those
same
characters, it's giving me that same story.
See, for me, I would be excited about it. And my thought being is that The Last of Us and HBO in general, but Last of Us HBO, right, mm-hmm. is such prime content, well done and respected so much because of Craig and Neil. My hope would be if they did a spinoff, whether it's Bill and Frank or it is a Fear of the Walking Dead kind of thing, it would be treated the same way where it is. We're giving you a eight episode anthology. We are following the thing. See, my whole thing with Fear the Walking Dead as a Walking Dead fan, what I thought they fucked up was, and I've said it before, and I think it would work really well here. Let's just jump into Last of Us. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite, I think my favorite part about the show is the unexpected. And so for me, it was the opening of episode one, being like, we're watching a 60s interview in England, it feels like. And then, of course, episode two's opening with the bomb them all. You know what I mean? Like, you can't win this thing. I think it would be awesome to do a Last of Us show that was Last of Us, the first 24. Come up with a way better name. It is like we are getting an anthology thing where every episode is jumping around and we're showing how it broke out in New York, how it broke out in Chicago, what it did in London. Like, I think
that I would be excited for.
That's fun and exciting and doing something different. Whereas Fear the Walking Dead was awesome in the beginning, I thought, because Rick's not asleep, so I get to see everything. And then, but then it was just like, oh, now you're just Walking Dead again. Now you're just another group of survivors. That's
which
not
is kind of what I don't. That's why, like, I think the Bill and Frank thing for two reasons. I don't necessarily want that. One is I don't want it to end up just becoming a thing of, all right, cool, now we're just doing another Last of Us, but with different characters. And then also, I think that story is so powerful because it is this contained thing that is one episode and it is a complete story.
Yeah.
I don't, like, it's not the same thing, right? But it, like, comes back to the idea of, like, if the MCU ever brings back Iron Man, and it's like, okay, well, that kind of, like, lessens what
we takes away from what we saw before.
Yeah, like, I don't want to see more Bill and Frank because that worked so well. You know, like, that was so good because it was this, you know, contained thing. But if you were to give me a Last of Us anthology show that was either the first 24 hours where it's a bunch of different stories about what happened in that first 24 hours, or if it was just a bunch of different stories about love and connection that happens within this post-apocalyptic world, because I think at its core, that's what Last of Us is about, right?
Sure.
It's about Joel and Ellie. It's about Joel and Tess. It's about Abby and Lev. It's about these different characters that care for each other and that are finding their humanity within the post-apocalypse. If you give me a bunch of different stories that are just giving me that, right? Like, give me a season of eight Bill and Franks. That's a banger TV show right there that I would be excited for. But yeah, like, I think whatever they do, right? Like, I think they're probably gonna have to figure out more content. Like, we're so far away from what the next Last of Us game is, you imagine. And so if that's the case, we're gonna catch up. Like, even if
very quickly
seasons two and three, like, if those are Last of Us part two, we're gonna catch up. And so the way capitalism works is that they're gonna want to find more content. And so I don't know, like, we'll see how they do it. I'm excited to see what they figure out also.
Yeah, me too. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm excited for what you figure out by supporting us and taking care of us and doing this. MadogNick96 sends in a YouTube super chat and says, for the Last of Us show, I hope we get more background about Yara and Lev and also Isaac and the WLF. That's another great thing, right?
Yeah.
Jeffrey writes in Last of Us Part 2. This is going to be great. Got like five lines. You're like, oh, okay, well, that's interesting.
I forgot that was Jeffrey. I don't know if I ever knew that was Jeffrey Wright.
Jeffrey Wright, man.
Holy cow.
And that's the thing where it's like, I would 100%. I think that's a great call out, MadogNick96. That there are these seeds planted in there, right, that are interesting. And you figure, if you're going to do a Lev and Yara flashback episode, we've already met Lev, we're already running with them, to flashback to see what it was like to live there, you know what I mean, getting pushed around, Yara taking care. I think that would actually be pretty cool. And that would also build out a season.
I hope they could cast Jeffrey Wright again. Isaac was that character, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jeffrey, he's dope.
CJ Splits,
great actor right there.
Splits on says with a super chat, The Last of Us Animatrix style. That was that anthology, right? I was never a Matrix person. That was a Matrix anthology.
Yeah, I believe it was also animated, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to animate. Actually, hold on. Do I want to animate The Last of Us?
Depends on the studio, you know? Like, think about, like, an anime Last of Us, you know? Think about
studio,
like, the studio that did Castlevania doing The Last of Us.
Oh, that'd be pretty cool.
That'd be pretty cool.
I'll think about it. I don't know.
While
I
you think about that, everybody watching, remember the Kinda Funny membership on patreon.com/kindafunny or youtube.com/kindafunnygame gets you games. Kind of youtube.com/kindafunnygames gets you the on-demand show ad-free. And speaking of ads, let's tell you about our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Around New Year's, we get obsessed with how to change ourselves instead of just expanding on what we're already doing right. Therapy helps you find your strengths so you can ditch the extreme resolutions and make changes that really stick. You can get out of your negative thought cycles and find some mental and emotional peace, and it can give you the tools you need to find more balance in your life so you can keep supporting others without leaving yourself behind. Some of my best friends use BetterHelp and love how helpful it can be for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Celebrate the progress you've already made by visiting betterhelp.com/kindoffunny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/kindoffunny. BetterHelp.com/kindoffunny.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
See, and that's the thing, you know, you got Tim in the bomber jacket, and then you come back to me in a bomber jacket.
Yeah, and y'all look like the same person.
But I need a cool jacket to wear over t-shirts.
I mean, you can just take bomber jackets from Tim. What's he going to do about
it? I mean, nothing.
Exactly.
He's a bitch.
That's what I'm saying.
He's not going to stop me.
He's going to approach you? Come on.
Everybody start tweeting me and writing in and telling me what to wear over a t-shirt to make it look a little bit better.
I mean, what if you just got really into denim?
I like flannels, but I feel like even flannels. The problem is flannels are so owned by Mick Foley. I feel like I'm
no,
just
no, they're not.
Cosplaying as Cactus Jack when I do this.
I don't think anybody is going to think
nobody's
about
thinking
Mick Foley.
It's not about any. I look great in a collared shirt. I look great in a t-shirt. I just want. It's what I think. For once, this is about me, not about you.
I'm just saying there are other jackets other than the bomber jacket.
What about leather? What if you got really into leather?
I always like that Superboy jacket with the Superman S on the back. Can I do that? Is that cool?
I feel like that's owned by Superboy.
I don't remember, Sam. They keep blinking
like
them out of existence.
You could get like a college professor jacket and get like the little patches here.
Oh.
Think about that,
yeah,
Greg.
Now you're onto something there.
There's other jackets.
I do like a good blazer. Yeah, if I start rocking a nice blazer.
Blazer? Yeah, but it's not too formal.
With a t-shirt? With a Razor Ramon t-shirt under it? You know what I mean?
I mean, yeah.
I think it's a good,
it gives you like
other option other than just the the button-up.
But I feel like it feels very Phil Spencer about to present at a E3, you know?
Depends on the type of
everybody wants to wear. Everybody's wearing a blazer and a t-shirt under it.
You get like a svelte, kind of like.
In the YouTube chat, Nick says, who even is Mick Foley? Please ban him. I don't care if Nick. I don't care.
Was that YouTube or Twitch?
That's YouTube.
That was Cactus Jack.
It's just Nick.
What about corduroy? I got a corduroy jacket here. I feel like you could.
I'm sorry, Nick. I got to put you.
That's yours then, isn't it?
Yeah, but I wear a lot of different
jackets.
I have a corduroy.
Maybe I just need multiple jackets.
That's what I do.
Maybe that's it. If I don't need to commit to one jacket because I do look good in this bomber jacket.
I have one corduroy. I have one denim. I have one leather, and then I have a bunch of bomber jackets. But that's how I roll. I think the variety of jackets really works.
Okay. Jean jacket.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think denim could work on you.
Okay.
Blessing, you really pull off the denim.
Blessing pulls off everything and anything.
It's bullshit, man.
Get fucking Mario costume over here. Put it on him. He's going to look great. Number two on the Roper Report. Xbox and Bethesda Developer Direct event confirmed for January 18th. This is Tom Ivan at VGC. Xbox and Bethesda will stream a Developer Direct presentation on Thursday, January 18th. It's been announced. Beginning at 12 p.m. Pacific. That's noon. It will provide fans with an inside look at a selection of highly anticipated games coming to Xbox Series X/S, PC, and Game Pass. Presented by the developers themselves, this will include Machine Games' Indiana Jones title, Obsidian's Avowed, Oxide Games, is that Oxide? Yeah, Oxide Games, are a History Untold, and Ninja Theory's Senua's Saga, Hellblade 2.
Whoa.
Let's fucking go. I'm stoked to see what Indiana Jones is about, stoked to see Avowed.
So, since we started off the show placing bets,
yeah,
Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
First person or third person? I'm going first person.
I will take the bet and say third, which right. I know if I'm like just looking and going, oh, Machine Games, I'm thinking first as well. My thought is that when you sit down and you tackle an Indiana Jones project, what are the things we want? What are the things we need? I think people, after watching so many movies, want to see Indy.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
And think about this, another developer Bethesda as well, that's known for doing first person, has confirmed that their upcoming game Blade is going to be their first well-known third-person game. So
we'll be playing it in 2035. Ben will be in high school.
Yep,
can't wait.
Exactly.
Can't wait. Excited. Are you excited for this?
The direct?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very excited for it. I think it's gonna be a fun time. I mean, these are mostly games I'm looking forward to, right? Like Obsidian's Avowed, I want to see more from. Hellblade 2, I'm fucking so excited about, right? That's probably one of my most anticipated this year. And then Indiana Jones, I just had questions of, right? Like I love machine games. Of course, we did Indiana Jones in review not that long ago. I guess a couple years ago.
Yeah, but we did the most recent one you finished off, right?
Yeah, I was on the recent one. But yeah,
funny story about that. You know that like literally the night before filming, Tim texts me. He's like, "Motherfucker, you were on this."
No one
told me to go watch the movie because they didn't think I was on it. And then he looked back. He's like, "God damn it, you're in the intro."
But yeah, like I've become like a recent fan-ish sure. of Indiana Jones. I like those movies. Those movies are pretty cool. Even watching them like way after the fact. So I'm excited about this game. I guess my questions are more so what does this game look like? Because to my question of third person or first person, right? Like I didn't say first person because it's machine games and I think that's where their skill set is. And I'd love to see what a first person Indiana Jones could look like.
Yeah.
But to the third person thing, like when they first announced that they're doing this, I think the conversation that we were all having is, oh, this could be Xbox's Uncharted.
Yeah.
Like what if this is kind of taking that mantle and giving us that pulp action? Like literally like so much of Uncharted is inspired by 100%. Indiana Jones, right? Yeah. Like, what if he can go to the original and give us that same level of, you know, fun action, you know, like and waves of enemies mowing down, you know, taking out 3,000 people and it being the narrative dissonance, but giving it Indiana Jones instead of Nathan Drake. Like, give me all of that, but give me as Indiana. I think that's such a fun idea. And I'm curious to see, like, is that what they deliver on? Or do they give us a unique take that we weren't expecting?
Yes.
Yeah.
YouTube Super Chats. Indiana Jones, first or third? Do you care about this? Like, this is a great lineup, I think, personally. Saying you have Indiana Jones, fuck, I immediately must watch. Avowed, again, I'm a nerd about. I want to know about it. I don't know anything about our History Untold. Have
I think
we
that's
seen
like
stuff?
A 4X type game.
The shit that means?
There's like a 4X strategy.
Okay. And then obviously Senua's Saga. The real downer is like, so you figure Hellblade 2 this year.
Mm-hmm.
Avowed? Indiana Jones?
I think this year.
You think so, both of them?
Yeah, I think the fact that you're doing a developer underscore direct at the top of the year to talk about these four games, I think that means that this year is these four games. Huh. I think these are the four big Xbox games this year.
That would be fucking awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're going to also probably get a surprise here. I don't know if they're going to do the Hi-Fi Rush, oh, and this game's out today sort of thing.
Was that at the developer underscore direct?
Yeah, that
before?
Was at the one last January. But like that was a big surprise that they had at that thing. And so I think there's room for that sort of thing, right? We're not necessarily out today, but hey, we're also working on this and it's out this year.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
I think they could come.
It went super fast, but I think it was PandaFin who screamed dominoes in the chat. they dominoes start knocking over the dominoes right now.
And to follow up on Blessing's prediction there, to look at last year's developer direct, they had Minecraft Legends, Forza Motorsport, Hi-Fi Rush, Elder Scrolls Online update content, I assume, and then Redfall, which were all games that either were already out and getting updates or did actually come out last year. So
there was also an Insider Gaming article that went out this morning that was claiming that their sources were saying that Indiana Jones is coming this year.
Huh.
And so stacking up, dominoes.
Can you imagine? This is the Xbox first party lineup for the year. PlayStation got Helldivers.
I mean, honestly, I think Xbox is probably gonna have a better first party lineup this year than PlayStation.
I mean, if this is the case, for sure.
Yeah. First party, I'm using the word first party, not exclusives, because like Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is still a powerful exclusive to have. But if we're just saying first party, like Indiana Jones, like I'm such a Hellblade fan, so like again, that is one of my most anticipated. I think that's gonna be a banger. And then, Avowed, if that lives up, like, if that gives us what Outer Worlds was to Fallout, if Avowed is that, but to Elder Scrolls, I think that's going to be a hit for people. Yeah, like, I think we're looking at a strong year. And, like, to the dominoes thing, right? Like, I think I'm at a place where I don't believe in the dominoes anymore. Like, I don't think the dominoes are dominoes, you know? Like, I think it's a different game they're playing. Like, okay. I don't think it's, like, the thing of, oh, yeah, we're going to have back-to-back-to-back banger exclusives. I think it really is, like, hey, let's just put out a bunch of good games that are going to make people continue to subscribe to Game Pass and not lapse their membership. And I look at this and I'm like, hey, yeah, if this is what a year for Xbox looks like, then I think that's dope. I think that is a good cadence to have. And I think this is what you should replicate year after year. I don't think it has to be a thing of like, oh, we got, I don't think it has to be like the Ghost of Tsushima a Horizon Zero Dawn, God of War type thing. I just think you need very good games consistently on your platform, and this is what that looks like. And so I'm hoping this is what their year is.
In the super chats, Bruce Rando super chats and says, what's the feeling on a shadow drop like Hi-Fi Rush? This is also their first super chat of all time. Thank you.
Ooh, thank you for that.
Do you think? I mean, I feel like
it's such a...
It was so successful. It was so successful, though.
Yeah, but like, I think...
Nobody had some smaller indie-ish... Well, I mean, everything's in it. You know what I mean? They're no smaller. Like, we're doing this little thing or we're trying to figure out when to put it. And they're like, holy shit, look what we just did with Hi-Fi Rush. Sit on that until we do next year's developer direct.
I think the thing about Hi-Fi Rush is that Hi-Fi Rush is AAA, right? Hi-Fi Rush is like, I know we almost want to view it as like a smaller thing, like a smaller project. Sure. But you play Hi-Fi Rush and it's like, I mean, it's not a long ass game, right? But like, it's fucking polished and like the world looks so good and the gameplay feels like a AAA action game. Like, it is a AAA video game, and it is so hard to line that up to have a surprise release. And it's also a big risk, you know. I don't think it's a thing that is replicable across multiple games in a way that's like worth trying that year over year. Like, unless there is like a, I mean, you mentioned Double Fine. If there's a new Double Fine IP,
Psychonauts 2 was how long ago, Barrett? 2 years ago?
That was like 2021.
Fall 2021. Yeah, that was 2021. Really? So okay. That was 3 years ago. And from the documentary Psych Odyssey last year, it did seem like in their final years of working on Psychonauts 2, there was a different team doing something else that they were very like not trying to like show off too much.
I think if there's a Double Fine new IP that's about ready, then I could see it shadow dropping.
Stacking
this thing.
2.
Otherwise, I think that's like the one scenario I can think of. Otherwise, yeah. I do think we'll get new game announcements, at least one new game announcement. But I don't know if it's going to be a shadow drop situation.
Yeah, I feel like Hi-Fi Rush was just like a perfect time and place.
Yeah,
I'd be very surprised if they made that a regular thing at the developer direct.
If you're shadow dropping something, like if that is the goal, like to get that pop of a shadow drop, I think maybe that now is the time to go. Every Call of Duty is on Game Pass, and the online's turned on for every Call of Duty.
That would be an exciting kind of shadow drop, for sure.
I think this could be the announcement of some Activision.
I selfishly
wait. Hold on, Average John. I was going to talk. Average John says that Oblivion / Fallout 3 remake. That'd be insane.
That'd be crazy.
But back to you, Barrett.
I selfishly don't want Double Fine to shadow drop anything, just because it's already a busy beginning of the year, and it's just, there's too many games already. Bless.
Sure.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is like, this is already a packed time. I don't want more games. I got Tekken coming out later this month.
Your Sixlet gave a super chat and said, actually, no, legit, give me Stacking 2 or a report of it. I don't think that's going to happen. But crazier things have happened before. Let's move on to number 3, where we're going to eat some grubs with a Jeff Grubb report. Sea of Thieves could be released on PlayStation and Switch. It's been claimed. This is Tom Ivan at VGC. Sea of Thieves could be released for PlayStation consoles and Nintendo Switch. It's been claimed. Last week, the Nate the Hate podcast said Microsoft was planning to bring one of its more acclaimed first party games to competing platforms this year. Responding to this claim, Giant Bomb's Jeff Grubb said Rare's Sea of Thieves could be set to make the jump to Sony and Nintendo's consoles. Usually I hate it, but right there, what I'm hurt. Said Rare's Sea of Thieves could be ready to set sail to Sony and Nintendo. You know what I mean? They're, you know. A little turn of phrase there. Have some fun, Tom.
I mean, but you also jump to other ships, right? Don't you jump ship? Isn't that a thing? Set to jump to Sony's and Nintendo's
consoles.
But you don't
jump ship there.
But like, you can jump from one ship to the other.
We put
so,
some
like,
nautical
just imagine
thing.
That the PlayStation...
They're jumping ship in terms of exclusivity.
Rare Sea of Thieves is set to get in the lifeboat and go to... Anyways, quote, Sea of Thieves. I'll say I've heard that was one of the... Jesus Christ, reading how somebody talks. Sea of Thieves. I'll say I've heard that was one that might be coming to other platforms, he said on Monday. When I first started hearing these rumors, I was like, this is probably about Sea of Thieves, because I've heard it could come to Switch and PlayStation, end quote. In his new industry newsletter, Game File, former Kotaku editor and Axios reporter Stephen Totillo also said on Monday that he's been told by a source that Microsoft has considered bringing Sea of Thieves to PlayStation, possibly for an early 2024 release. Blessing.
Yeah.
Could this be shadow dropped at the ID Xbox _ Direct?
Possibly. I think that'd be really neat. I mean, and the fact that these rumors are starting to heat up. What was the one we talked about yesterday was Hi-Fi Rush possibly coming to Switch, right?
Like, sure. I think which would make a lot of sense.
Which would make a lot of really sense. Up. I think the fact that these rumors are heating up currently probably means that something's imminent, right? Whether it's an announcement or these things are actually going to pop up during that developer _ Direct or around that time. Yeah, I think that's very possible. And also, I think that'd be really neat. You know, we talked about it yesterday, of the idea of the Xbox business strategy and how, like, you know, Xbox is more about getting people into the ecosystem as opposed to just selling boxes. And so the idea of putting their games on other platforms does make a lot of sense for that, right? Like,
sure.
Give people that hit of what Hi-Fi Rush is on other platforms. That way, when Hi-Fi Rush 2 comes out, guess what? You get some Game Pass subscriptions. People play it on either their Xbox, or they play it on their smart TV via streaming, or they play it on whatever device can run Xbox Game Pass. Do the same thing with Sea of Thieves, right? Get those player numbers up. Create a community. You already have a lot of people that are playing Sea of Thieves on Xbox and on PC. Yeah, put it on PlayStation, put it on Switch, introduce people to the platform of Sea of Thieves, and then one day Sea of Thieves 2 will come out, or whatever next Rare game comes out, and you have this big community that, you know, wants to buy in, and you launch it first.
It's
on
the
Xbox.
Way PlayStation does it with their PC ports, right? Yeah. Of bringing over, like, you know, game one in the series right before, right after they put out game two. And I think with Sea of Thieves, right, like, you, if you're an Xbox player, I think at this point, you know, if you like Sea of Thieves or if you want to play Sea of Thieves. So how much more money is in Dem Hills? You know what I mean? Like, you go out here, you stretch out, you find a whole bunch of new people to play. You assume crossplay's in there so they can go do a bunch of stuff together. And then, yeah, one day, on top of the microtransactions that are in the game, one day you put out a Sea of Thieves 2, or get them so excited that they want to just go to get Xbox Game Pass, period, let alone for a Sea of Thieves
2. Yeah, I think for Xbox 2, which is now a publisher with so many studios, like, I always lose count of how many studios Xbox owns, but it's like at least double the amount of, like, PlayStation or Nintendo. PlayStation, I don't know about Nintendo. But, like, you have so many games, like, available that you are going to publish now, right? Like, so many different projects from different studios that I think you almost have to start publishing things on other platforms. Not everything necessarily, right? But, like, I think when you have that much, there's so much money you're leaving on the table by not sharing the wealth a little bit and going, hey, let's dip into that PlayStation audience. Let's dip into that Nintendo audience to get some of that money.
It's
the exact same thing with Call of Duty that we've talked about for the last few years, of the ongoing battle of, yeah, we're going to have this on PlayStation because of the deal, right? Because we need to do this deal to, like, actually buy the publisher. But I think even regardless, you want it on PlayStation anyway, because you're going to sell tens of millions of units on that platform probably. And then, like, get that money back to continue making other games. Like, it just makes sense.
Yeah. Mr. Echo says with a super chat, this would be the first Rare game on PlayStation. Wild times.
Oh, I never thought about that.
Indeed.
Holy cow.
Number four on the Roper Report, Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League has previews out, and we have a roundup. Destin Legarry at IGN previewed it, said we played it and didn't like it. The best part of Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League after playing it for a few hours is the story. And yes, it certainly seems like you will be killing characters you know and love. Lots of death happening. That's also a big part of the problem I have with the entire premise. I can't help but shake. There's no way Rocksteady is going to let this stick. Our heroes have done terrible things. There will be a time reversal mechanic or some alternate Earth timeline that comes along and washes away all the terrible awfulness that happened during the story. From enslaving a child, form of poison ivy to straight up watching your heroes murder people, there's a lot here to make you feel a bit uncomfortable about the journey you're being taken on. And when you pair this disconnect with the game's mechanics straight out of the likes of Destiny, Anthem, or Marvel's Avengers, I'm left worried about the final product coming together in a way that works. The fun just wasn't there for me, at least not yet. Alan Wen at VGC reported I'm assuming these are the headlines.
These are the headlines.
Thank you. A few hours with Rocksteady's Suicide Squad isn't enough to convince. The gunplay is by no means bad, though it also has a lot you need to be able to read in the moment. A bigger issue was that the verticality of the open world meant I frequently lost sight of where my other squad members were, one moment chasing after their marker on a rooftop, only to find that it had flipped around because it transpired they were on ground level. Concluding the session, our team had a chance to take on the Flash, which also involves some tedious buildup. And while I won't spoil the details, it makes you appreciate why bosses and team-based shooters are typically larger than life and why these encounters occur in enclosed arenas rather than the open world. Ouch.
Oof.
And then Brian Shea, Game Informer, writes, emerging from my hands-on session, I feel much more confident in Rocksteady's long-awaited follow-up to its critically acclaimed Arkham series, but I still have several questions. But even with those hesitations surrounding post-launch support, game structure, and monetization efforts, I now have February 2nd circled on my calendar as my overwhelming curiosity and anxiety have turned mostly to anticipation.
A little kernel of hope there within, like, a lot of negative previews. And my takeaway from seeing these previews, because at first, like, in prepping the Roper Report, right, like, as I was looking around, I saw the previews start to pop up, and I wasn't planning on having, like, a preview round of First Suicide Squad, because it's just such a jam-packed news day. Mm-hmm. But as I started reading them, I was like, yo, I started to realize I've never really seen such a negative preview cycle for a video game in the way that, like, I think it's really hard to have a preview event where, like, for a video game where the previews generally are bad.
Yeah.
Like, I think the reason being, like, the previews are often such, like, a controlled environment. Hey, we're going.
Here's
you're
the
showing
best
you,
piece of the game.
Yeah.
We
here's
have.
A here's like vertical slice that is a piece of the game that we have confidence in, and, like, you know, previews are generally, for on the developer / publisher side, meant to generate a buzz, right? They're meant to generate excitement. They're meant to generate hype, right? So for multiple outlets, seemingly most outlets coming out and being like, I didn't like that. Like, that's kind of wild. Like, I feel like you usually don't see that. Like, am I wrong about that?
No, I mean, I don't have every preview logged in my head. I feel like, yeah, you've had lukewarm to cold previews before. But again, you're nailing the point of this is usually your best foot forward. What's the best? What's the most fun you could go have? What is so for them to get there and be like, it's funny. I saw a tweet out of context on the way to work today from somebody who I think is one of my Avengers people retweeting that they call that IGN talking about how they didn't like the Flash fight because it was hard to hit the Flash. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's a weird out of context thing. Reading here right from the VGC one where they're like, oh, open areas shooting around. Like, okay,
yeah,
that's a bit, I understand a bit more what that little context kernel was or whatever. It seems like why putting this one out there is like, this is what we're doing. If people aren't vibing with that, that's a rough one. That's a rough way to go.
Yeah.
But again, sometimes, you know, with preview events, you get dropped. All right, you're 5 hours into the game, yada, yada, yada. So like the thing here where it's like, you know, talking about how hard it is to get your head wrapped around the shooting mechanics there, but there's a lot to read in the moment. Obviously, games usually give you breadcrumbs to get you there before you have a full arsenal at your disposal. So maybe playing it in context would be better.
Yeah. I'm surprised by how not excited I am for this game.
Yeah, you know, I'm a huge DC super fan. You know, I've been begging for Superman games and yada, 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 and I have also been very vocal of, like, Suicide Squad just isn't what I want. Mm-hmm. But I say that hoping every time I get a glimpse at it, I go, oh, I see it.
Same.
I see it. Yeah. I know why I'm going to be. And so, like, to get here, like, less than a month removed from release and still be looking at previews going, like, and have Destiny be like, you're killing a lot of your heroes, and it's probably, and it's like, yeah, probably going to, yeah, this is all probably accurate of, like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We'll Kevin see. Conroy's last performance is Batman.
I know. Very sad. Very sad.
Persona 3 coming out the same day.
Yeah, I know what I'm going to be playing that day.
Let's give you, that was your shot. Here's a chaser. Number 6, Sony shows footage of a mysterious Patapon project. This is Andy Robinson of VGC. Sony appears to be teasing a new project in the Patapon franchise during its CES press conference on Monday. The tech firm debuted a video showcasing projects from its new Torchlight visualization facility. Towards the end of the video, Torchlight debuted footage of what appears to be the Gravity Rush movie, as well as new footage of an unnamed Patapon project labeled IP Development Gaming /Anime. Sony did not elaborate on whether the mysterious project was a game, an animation project, or simply a test. I refuse to get hype yet.
Yeah, I think I saw somebody tagging us in a tweet that's like, oh, a new Patapon announced. And I'm like, they didn't announce it. There's just footage that they're showing based on a project that they're doing. But it's neat, right? The fact that they're pulling Patapon for this.
Totally.
Super neat.
Oh, like, all the original creators went off and kickstarted their own game? Fuck them. We're going to do something Patapon still too.
So I wonder why. I do wonder what the deal with that is. I wonder if we're going to see like a final project come out of that. But then I think the bigger news for the world would be the Gravity Rush thing.
Yeah, that's cool.
Which the footage of that also looks interesting. Like it looks like almost like concept footage. It just if that's final footage from the film, it doesn't inspire a lot of excitement / confidence from me. But I think it's just like
it's a work in progress. Yeah, that's why you're getting shots off the TV or the monitor or whatever. It'll be fine.
But it's also like a reminder that they're making a Gravity Rush film.
100%. A lot of people. I forgot about it. You know, I don't think about it often.
I saw a tweet from Emmett Watkins Jr. that's like, it is a reminder that it's like video game budgets have ballooned so much that it's cheaper to just make a Gravity Rush adaptation film than to just make another Gravity Rush game,
which
is wild to think about. Like, they're making another Gravity Rush movie, like not a game, a movie, because that's probably easier and more beneficial to do than just making another game.
Yeah.
We're going to get a Severed movie at some point.
That'd be dope.
Actually, I would be really down for that. Yeah. Did you mean to skip story number 5 also, or was that you're trying to save time on the show?
No, I just totally missed it because there's so much on the news report.
Gotcha.
Doubling back to story number five, Unity is cutting about 1,800 people in the company's largest layoff. This is Zach over at Kotaku. A new report says Unity is cutting around 1,800 jobs, or about 25% of its employees, according to a regulatory filing and internal company memo obtained by Reuters on Monday. It is reportedly the largest round of layoffs in the software company's history, far larger than what happened in November of last year, and it will be completed by the end of March. Unity has gone through three prior rounds of layoffs within the last 12 months. Quote, we are reducing the number of things we are doing in order to focus on our core business and drive our long-term success and profitability. Interim CEO Jim Whitehurst wrote in an internal memo obtained by Reuters. The memo was sent out to all Unity employees on January 8th.
So, absolutely insane. What's the most insane about this is the amount of people, obviously, like 1,800 people.
Yeah.
When during last year, as we talked about all the layoffs that were happening week to week to week to week, right? I forget the exact number that totaled up. It was somewhere around like 6,000 to 9,000 people that had gotten laid off in the games industry last year. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about what an insane number that is. We are a week and 2 days into this year, and 1,800 is now the number.
Yeah.
Which is, depending on what number you're looking at, right? Like, almost up to a third of the number from last year already. Like, right. That's wild.
Yeah.
Super unfortunate. Makes you, of course, like, worry about the future of Unity. But also just makes you worry about the future of, like, the games industry, period, right? Like, we are losing a lot of folks, and it's going to be damaging overall, right? Like, I'm very scared to see what the overall result is when we look down years from now and go, oh, fuck, like, we lost a lot of people in the games industry and we didn't treat them well, and now look at what we have
the
left.
Knowledge lost, you know what I mean? That's always what you talk about with this, when you lose these people from these different positions and companies, right? Of like, you lose them being able to hand that knowledge down to a younger team to then learn from it, to then make new discoveries, to make new lessons and pass on all the information, right? And make a more structured pipeline and make video games better and make them easier to make and all these different things.
Yeah,
it continues to suck. It will continue to be rough. We will continue to track what's going on here. But blessing.
Greg.
I'm tired of all that big news.
That was a lot of big news.
If I wanted something smaller, say the tiniest news I needed to know about, where would I go?
You'd go to our last story, the Wii News Channel, where we cover all the small news items you need to know about.
There it is. Love it. Jeff Keighley tweeted that writing is underway for the series based on God of War for Prime Video and Horizon Zero Dawn for Netflix. I should hope so. Jesus.
Finally.
Immortality is coming to PlayStation 5 on January 23rd.
Let's
go. Street Fighter 6 is crossing over with Spy Family from January 9th through January 31st.
Woo!
Avatar costumes for Yor and Lloyd will be available at the collaboration store in the Battle Hub. In addition, all players who log in during the collaboration period will receive special items like photo frames, stamps, and titles. Now, Barrett, you were super stoked about this yesterday on Slack.
Yeah, it was mainly just a joke. I sent this story to Slack, and I was like, I'm about to become the Street Fighter 6 pro.
Love it.
Spy Family's great.
Spy Family is great. And Street Fighter's great. I love this.
From Benji Sales, WB has announced Hogwarts Legacy has sold 22 million copies as of the end of 2023. According to WB, it is the best-selling game of 2023 in the industry. Sakurai said he is planning to wrap up his YouTube channel later this year. Helldivers 2 is officially getting crossplay. PAL World will release on January 19th. That's a Friday on Steam, and it's also coming to Game Pass. And then to round up the Wii News Channel, Alan Wake is coming to Dead by Daylight on January 30th. We have an NVIDIA GeForce update for you.
Whoa.
We've partnered with NVIDIA to keep you updated on the latest GeForce RTX additions to your favorite games, like this week is the ever-exciting showcase of consumer electronics coming from the CES Expo in Las Vegas. And NVIDIA has got things kicked off yesterday with a few key gaming announcements. The big hardware news for PC gamers is the reveal of the Super GPUs for GeForce RTX 40 series. These mid-generation cards are rolling out this month and include new RTX 4080 Super, 4070 Super, and 4070 Ti graphics cards. First up will be the 4070 Super, launching January 17th, a top-notch upgrade for high-performance 1440p gaming. It's faster than the RTX 3090, uses just a fraction of the power, and will start at $599 US dollars. And in terms of games, we got our first look at how Horizon Forbidden West will be showcased with NVIDIA's AI-powered tech. This title will launch on PC later this year with day one DLSS3 support to boost game performance with image quality that'll just be So appropriate for this gorgeous game. And that new coat of paint we've been waiting for with Half-Life 2 RTX is getting a little more filled in with a brand new trailer from NVIDIA and Half-Life 2's top community mod teams. The legendary game will be a fantastic experience for RTX gamers. It looks cool as hell. And if you're a talented modder, NVIDIA invites you to sign up for the project. There were so many more GeForce announcements. We'll highlight a few more throughout the month. You can visit the links in chat to read up on everything you want to know about. We need an NVIDIA song. Because you do the Wii News channel, yeah. And it's just so good to come off of that. Just I mean, I'm sure NVIDIA does.
I would love like a hard rock, like something that's like a NVIDIA.
Andy should write something. That should be really. Andy's a big PC gamer. He knows what's up. Let him get out there and
what
do
what kind
it
of
for
music the PC gamers like?
Don't get me started.
I'm sending you
don't
up
get me started.
For a bit after a sponsor
what
segment.
What can they get
yeah,
off LimeWire? You know
say
what
now.
I mean? Get out of here, ladies.
That's right.
Gentlemen.
You can't talk your crap about PC gamers.
I can talk my crap about PC gamers. NVIDIA right knew what they were signing up for, ladies and gentlemen. All right?
Yeah? Then answer the question.
I don't have a good one of I don't want to insult any
you
genre
say,
of
like,
music.
What?
Creed.
I was going to say Creed. Yeah, I feel like Creed would be the answer.
Three Doors Down.
Okay, Nickelback. We're not insulting my musical tastes. All right? Maybe you missed
that. Are you
that.
A PC gamer?
No!
Sounds like it.
Dang. Professional wrestling fan, all right? Creed won the Attitude Era. It was all about Creed.
That's probably true.
Come on now. That's Stone Cold vignettes.
Nickelback. Nickelback is one of those bands that we make fun of.
Nickelback for the weirdest thing. Chad Kroeger was just backstage at WWE. Everybody's putting up these photos of Chad Kroeger, and they're making, you look at this photograph jokes.
Was he showing people photographs?
No, it was weird.
The realistic answer, Blessing, is the, remember the episode of SpongeBob where Mr. Krabs was into that techno song?
But that was a banger.
It was a banger.
Yeah.
Shout out to that song.
That was a good song.
PC gamers just go to Spotify and they put on the modem sounds for a loop.
Mm. I was talking to somebody recently that, like, oh, somebody I matched with on a dating app. I was like,
nice.
What
kind of we gotta end this show, but I gotta know the transition of, I was talking with her, and how did you get to a modem sound?
She was, no, but we were like, we're talking about music we like or whatever. I was like, what kind of music do you like to listen to? And she's like, my most played song on my Spotify Wrapped last year was an EDM remix of Screaming Goats. And I was like, this might be a red flag. She was chill though. Went on a date, she was cool.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You do another date or no?
Not yet.
But are you going to?
Very possibly, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
You lead a whole life I don't know about. You know what I mean? I don't
know. My secret life.
We need a
secret family.
You need to start vlogging every day. This has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday, we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about live on YouTube, Twitch, and podcast services around the globe. If you love what we do, please support us with the Kinda Funny membership on Patreon or YouTube, where you can get all of our shows ad-free, watch us record them live, and get a daily exclusive show. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, it's been our pleasure to serve you.